afternoon. We'll give you some time to get on here because I think it'll take you a little while. But we'll see how long it takes. I'll just sit here sipping my coffee and waiting for a little while here to see how long it takes some of you people to get on board here and see how long it takes YouTube to catch up with things. Probably got some hidden algorithm messing me up somewhere, sending you off to like outer space somewhere. Jody Hammond, how are you? Good to see you on here. I think my beard looks bigger with the red cap. I don't know. It looks like it is. It looks like it's... Or I'm doing my best impression of Santa Claus. I don't know which. It's a beautiful frozen day in Minnesota. Absolutely frozen. Cold day. This morning I woke up and it was -8. With the wind chill, it was -22. So I've been trying to save my voice because I caught some kind of cold, something, whatever it is, last Wednesday. My throat was kind of hurting, but nothing too major, but I could tell my voice, I was starting to lose my voice. So I had to take it easy. And I got to turn the seat warmer down. Right? Seat warmers. Getting a little hot in here. These Ford F-150 trucks are absolutely amazing. They're the most comfortable truck ever. So we're just shooting the breeze here for a minute. How bad is my hair? Whoa, look at my hair. Whoa. Put my hat back on, man. Should I put it on this way? Look at that. Look at that style right there. My wife said, oh no. Oh, that's funny. Don't wow pastor me, Peter. If you and Carl don't quit talking like a couple of teenage stoners from the 70s, I'm gonna hunt you both down. You should see these two on the chat. This is all they say. Whoa, dude. Whoa. Like, no way, dude. Whoa. Dude. Whoa. No. Come on. No. I mean, it literally sounds like a bad 70s movie. That's all they say the whole time. Nah, come on. Whoa. Dude, no way. Whoa. Come on, guy. Whoa. Like, the whole, all day. All day long. I don't even go on the thread. It just pulls up on my phone, and I look at it, I'm like, well, there they go again. There they go. I'm like, okay. Here it goes. So anyway, we're going to have a Bible study here in a little bit on biblical authority, the authority of the Word of God, and we're going to go through some Bible verses and some other things, but before that, we could talk about this year a little bit. I think it's kind of, since we're nearing the end of the year here, we're getting right there, aren't we? Before I forget, you pray for us Friday. Friday night, we're preaching. Okay? Very, very cold. Oops, sorry. I gotta hit the do not disturb on this thing, man. There we go. Sorry about that, guys. We're going to go out preaching New Year's Eve. Hey, Brother Ross, I saw you guys were out preaching too. We're going to be out preaching New Year's Eve, and it's going to be very cold. It looks like it's going to be warmer than what it was supposed to be. So, we will be out there, though, this Friday night. So you pray for us. Pray for our safety. Pray we all dress warm enough. And we're going to try to hand out some gospel tracts out there, preach the gospel to many lost partiers out there. And maybe there's some saved people out there that aren't living right. And the Lord will use us to help recover them from their error. I didn't catch what Jody's prayer request was. I didn't catch that. I missed it somehow. I didn't see that. So, what are we praying for Jody for? I didn't see that. Oh, waiting on the OSHA decision. Okay. Yeah, that's ridiculously stupid is what it is. The whole thing is just garbage. But it is what it is, and it's the world we live in today. So 2021, let's talk about that a little bit. What an interesting time we've had, right? Man, I'm gonna take this off and mess my hair up. You like, isn't that cool? Look at that. Oh man, let's see if I can do this. Let's see. Hannah, I need a haircut. I don't know what you've been doing, but you need to cut my hair. What's going on? Goodness. Look at that. Yeah, that's fine. That'll work. Look at it. I think it's kind of cool to have this little thing sticking up right here like this. Look at that. I think I got it. It looks like. But it's actually called Hat Head. Because I had my hat. Look at that. There we go. Look, it's fine. I'm going to get a haircut when I leave right now. I'm just going to go in the house and I'm going to get a haircut. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in the house and get a haircut. Because I don't pay somebody $20 to cut my hair. I just have my wife do it for me. That's what I do. Anyway, 2021 has been an absolutely crazy, insane year, hasn't it? If you thought 2020 was like weird enough, I guess it wasn't, because 2021 was like absolutely insane. Well, Carl, you'll grow up and you won't be such a prima donna, and then you won't care so much about your hair when you grow up and you get a little bit older. But right now you're just a little squirt and you're worried about your hair and your image. Right? But after you get older and you have a bunch of kids, then you don't care. You don't care about your hair anymore. Aaron, I wouldn't let you touch my head. No way. I hope she does enjoy this. She's right. Anyway, I'm just rambling, but I'm having fun, so that's okay. 2021 has been a very interesting year, hasn't it? We found ourselves still in the psycho lab of the New World Order, where we're just basically in this like psychotic lab, and we're like rats being tested. It's been real. It's been great. And they're all playing games, obviously. And it's been fun, hasn't it? And at least we haven't been locked down too bad or anything like that. They didn't do that, really. Our warden and our prison guards were very nice to let us go out and breathe air. That was nice of them. We were happy for that. And now that they've gotten, you know, most people vaccinated that they want to, what they're finding is that not a lot of people will, but I won't talk too much about that but if you want to know what I really think, whoa, that was weird. If you want to know what I really think about COVID-19, then go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. And then click on the COVID-19 series. And boy, will you find out what I really think about COVID-19. And about all of the games, prizes, and where this is all leading, which it's all leading to the metaverse, which we've talked about. So this year we kind of talked about a few different things that were kind of interesting, didn't we? We talked about we talked about some conspiracies, of course. We did talk about the metaverse, which we're going to talk more about this year. AI and the metaverse. Right? AI and the metaverse. We're going to discuss more of that here coming up in the weeks to come, Lord willing. I've got more I want to talk about. And, you know, I stated on that, you go back and listen to that. I could not put my latest metaverse teaching online, on YouTube, that is. It's on Sermon Audio. And the reason why was because I talked about COVID. And I talked about the platform and what they used. And how it was all a springboard. It all had to be used that way. Like, they had to do that, right? So, that was an interesting topic of discussion. Let's see. Obviously, the major things this year that stuck out were still the vaccinations, which we won't talk about too much. We'll just leave it at that on this broadcast. I have more to say about that stuff. I never did finish what I wanted to discuss about that, but I have to do that over on YouTube. Excuse me, Sermon Audio. But we will discuss more of that in the weeks to come, Lord willing. Talk about that. The other thing that is exciting about this year, things that happened this year in our ministry that's kind of important. I'm about to do a whole 7-day streak of watching as much videos of yours as possible. I've been in a state of sin. I'm trying to get away from something. I didn't see who that was, but good. Keep listening. But one of the exciting things about that the Lord did was the Lord allowed us to sell our home, my parents to sell their home, and then we bought this home out in the country in an undisclosed location, deep behind enemy lines, and we are building the Southern Command Center And I made a decision that I'm going to be pushing things forward, Lord willing, the best I can. I actually sold a vehicle off that I had, and I'm going to use that money to put together the building here that I need to put together. The building's put together, but to remodel the inside of it and to get the studio built that I need. I did buy a car back in when I moved here because I was just going to drive back and forth and use that to put miles on so I don't put them on this truck. Because the Lord allowed me to pay this truck off. He allowed me to pay my van off. I don't have any debt, really, besides the house that I live in. And I want to keep it that way. But I guess I never really told you guys this, but one thing that I envisioned when I would move to a house, when I moved from there, and one of the things that I envisioned was to be able to walk down the driveway and be able to broadcast, have my office, and do all of those things right from there. And the Lord actually allowed that to happen. God really gave me that. So what I'm going to do is finish turning this into that and be able to not spend a lot of time driving back and forth to an empty building in Northfield where I don't need to be. Because I pastor people. So if any of our church members need my help or need me to come over or need me to assist them or need prayer or need me to come and meet with them, then I drive to them, not to a building. The building doesn't need to be pastored. People need to be pastored, right? So basically, the Lord has allowed me to be able to do all those extra things that I do, the broadcast, because I want to do 2 to 3 broadcasts a week. I'd like to get better at doing some. I don't have time for it, I'll be honest with you. Video editing and different things like that. But it would be nice to be able to do all those things here. And the Lord gave me the space to do it. And the opportunity. Any good churches in Illinois? I'm near Chicago. I have a friend that's looking to start a church in Chicago. If you contact me at salvationpreacher@gmail.com, email me at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. I'll get you hooked up with him. Somebody's asking me, what is Baphomet? Baphomet is a false god. It's an Egyptian god. Opposites. Baphomet is opposites. So there's breasts on Baphomet as well as male genitalia or male parts on Baphomet. So that's who Baphomet is. And Baphomet is a beast. He represents the as is above, so is below. He represents the mingling of androgyny. Okay, androgynous. He's the god of androgyny. You can go back and listen to my series on that. That's who Baphomet is. It's the god of androgyny. Okay? So that's who that is. It's a beast. That's right. It's the beast system. Yep. It's the god of androgyny. That's who it is. That's who Baphomet is. So the rock stars are Baphomet. I wish I had my setup here. See, if I had my setup here, I'd be doing a better broadcast. But I like truck talks too. It's okay. it's okay just to talk. It's okay. I needed to do it. I needed to get back in. I was like dragging my feet. I'm like, I need it. I need to do it. But anyway, and I'll answer some questions today. If you want to, if you want to do that, I don't have a problem with doing that. But kind of make it a little bit looser of a format here today. But then I would like to teach you on this because I think it's a very good outline to talk about a little bit later on. Yes, I do need some tint. I need to get the back ones tinted stronger and the front ones tinted stronger. I got a guy that's going to do that for me, though. But anyway, that's who Baphomet is. Now, about the building, let me get back to that. So what I'm doing now is putting together a studio in here. We're gonna. I went and I worked for like 2 days to get bookshelves. And I went to get those bookshelves because they're very heavy metal bookshelves. They're very sturdy and I couldn't get a better deal on them. And so it took me a couple days to tear them all down. I had to drive like an hour one way. Actually, it was 2 hours one way. We did that to get those bookshelves here. So we'll be installing those this weekend. But then we're going to try to do what we can to get those up and running quickly. The building aspect of the studio. I got to get a computer. Teresa, Daryl's husband, said that he'd be willing to build me one. And if he knows how to build one that I need for like a video card, that has a video card in it and all that stuff for streaming and all those good things, that would be a blessing for sure. Because I need to do that. And get that all taken care of. So you pray about that. There's some things that we have to get done here. And I sold that vehicle to be able to do that because I want to be able to get moving. I don't want to drive. I don't want to invest. I was going to buy a different car because my dad kind of needed a car and all that kind of stuff. But decided not to go that way. And really believe the Lord had led through some other advice that I need to really invest in what I have here and get things going so I can be more productive, right? I can get more done. So I'm looking forward to doing that. You pray about that for us, that the Lord would provide and that all that would happen. You know, that the Lord be honored and glorified by it, that we would get the truth out there to many people who need it. There's a lot of things that I'd like to do, always. There's a ton of things. But we'll see what the Lord allows. So that was something interesting. The Lord had us move, had my parents sell their house, had us, me get my house sold, and I helped them sell their house and got all that stuff done. And then the Lord continued to provide for us and provided this property out here, as well as provided the equipment that I needed to clean this property up and to take care of it, which is a blessing for sure. So, you know, it's interesting how the Lord works. Whoa, that thing fell off. And right when I said that, the whole thing fell down. Anyway. Wow, that was crazy. Anyway, but get that out of my way. So now I got to figure out how to get that back up. And there goes my dog running around. Whoa. So see if I can fix that, which I probably can, Lord willing. You know, I could fix it this way, too, maybe. Let's see. You ever tried to do something one-handed before? There we go. Let's see. Nope. That won't work. It is nice out here. It's very nice out here. Very nice. Yeah, that makes it nice. But it doesn't make it any less cold. I will tell you that for sure. Yeah. Dogs run around. One video I did, the dog was running around and just like pooped the middle of the yard. That was funny. Anyway, that was hilarious. But this will be interesting. I should have my teenage son come out here and hold the phone for me so I can do this, because my stinking mount just busted off on me. Isn't that exciting? It's like video bloopers. Big Whale says, Cooley, did you make any bolting or jerky? Look, I don't make bolts, okay? Let me see here. Let's see if I can do this here. Let's see. There. There's that. Oh, I might have it. Let's see if I can get this to work. I did not yet, Big Worm. Big Worm. Did I just call him Big Worm? Anyway. Oh, that's funny. If you're still here, great. If not, I can totally understand. Isn't it nice that somebody's telling me what to do on my own broadcast? It's nice. I like it a lot. There we go. Let's see. That's going the wrong way. There. And this. Why is that doing that? Sorry, I'm trying to fix something that's broke. Have you ever tried to fix something that's broke live? Probably not. Now we'll see. Oops. If this will work. There. Well, see, if you want the condensed, shorter teachings of things, you can definitely have those. And I understand that, but this is like a truck talk, and I'm just talking freely with people right now. I don't know why you really have a problem with that, to be honest with you. I haven't talked to anybody on here for 2 weeks. You realize that? It's been like 2 weeks since I've even said anything to anybody. And I actually count a lot of these people as my friends. So that's actually why I want to talk to them. Like, they're actually my friends. Like, I actually care about them. They're not just like some... Like, I don't view people as just like some internet squawk box for me to talk to. I actually view them as like people that I actually care about their lives, and I'm actually interested in them, you know, like they're real people, like they're human beings. If you're looking for like an information depository, then you could go to wayoflife.org and you could buy their dictionary or encyclopedia. You can buy David Cloud's encyclopedia. And that's what I would suggest you do. Buy his encyclopedia, and then you can just have facts regurgitated to you all day long. Okay? You could just have facts downloaded into your brain all day long. And I get it. Some people don't like my format. Hey, some people don't like me. Lots of people don't like me. I'm used to it. But I mean, I'm not going to like be somebody else for you. And I'm not going to hurry up and do stuff. Just, I'm just not. I'm talking to people because I care about them. What's your opinion of Steven Anderson? If you want my opinion of Steven Anderson, you can go to sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley and type in Steven Anderson. He has a false view of biblical repentance. He put me on a blacklist. He did a video about me recently, a second one. He's done a few over the years about me and about how I'm on some repentance works blacklist. So, anyway. But I just believe I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, anyway. Sorry about that. I hope this thing doesn't fall again. Man. Why isn't a pastor an employee of the church? Well, that's a good question. Most pastors are an employee of the church. However, Old Paths Baptist Church, which is the church that I pastor, is not a 501c3. It is not a legal entity. It is not a tax-exempt corporation. It does not have a tax identification number. And it has no employees because a church is a spiritual entity. A church is a spiritual entity, not a physical entity. It's not a business. It's not a nonprofit organization. Right? So that's the difference. So most churches in America are 501c3 corporations. Or if they're not, they're unassociated in corporations, which fall under the same guidelines. They're 508 churches, which still fall under the guidelines of 501c3. I guarantee you 99% of churches in America are either unincorporated associations, have a tax identification number, conduct themselves as a business, or they are 501c3 in that fashion. I'm not an employee of Old Paths Baptist Church because Old Paths Baptist Church is a spiritual entity, right? So, ouch. The difference being that we don't have, I don't have a set salary that I get. Like, I don't have a guaranteed salary every month. We live by faith. The money comes in, we pay the bills, we do what we can, and whatever the Lord provides, that's what happens. That's what we have. So that's what we have. That's who we are as a church. And that's the kind of churches that we want to reproduce. Ones that don't have permission from the government to operate. So, that's the difference. I have friends that are pastor 501c3 churches. I have friends that pastor unincorporated associations, and I believe they're wrong. But I still, that wouldn't be the only determining factor of me going to a church or not going to a church. if they preach the Bible, if they were organized wrong, but they preach the Bible right, they taught right, yeah, people give to for our needs all the time. People give for the needs of my family all the time. They should support their pastor. Don't mistake not having a salary with not being supported. The men and women and the people of Old Paths Baptist Church have supported me ever since we started. And people like you out there that have supported me and given me and taken care of me. The Lord has used all sorts of people from all over the world to take care of me. I think it's a miracle because there's literally churches that are closed down that started when we started, and they are closed now. And a lot of it was financial or whatever the case may be, but a lot of them were organized as corporations. But the Lord has always taken care of me. Because by His grace, we chose to honor Him all those years ago when I had a decision to make. Either you're going to be you're going to turn your church into a creature of the state, or you're going to organize under me and trust me and let me take care of you. We chose to trust the Lord by God's grace. And with all the lockdowns and all the things that happened, it really proved to be, the Lord showed me some of the reasons why He had me do that all those years ago. Because later on, we didn't follow the government protocol. And if I ever would have went to court, I would have looked at him and said very clearly, I didn't take your tax exempt number. I didn't ask you for any favors. Our church is not a creature of the state. We didn't ask you permission to open. We didn't ask your advice. Instead, I saw pastors with million-dollar buildings literally weeping and begging the governor to let them. Open their doors. They were literally weeping and begging. Right? Please, governor. Please let us have church. Please let us have... That makes me sick. For people in America who have fought those battles already, to ask permission of the federal government, and then find out that all of them were receiving funds through Trump's PPP loans. Do you think I should stay out of a church since I'm sick? Well, what are you sick of? What are you sick with? Depends on what you're sick with. If you got a fever and you're contagious, don't go to church. Don't get other people sick. I don't trust a lot of Christian lawyers, and I put those in parentheses too, by the way. Especially David Gibbs. David Gibbs is about the worst lawyer ever for churches. In the words of my father, they're a bunch of criminals. I can't believe I've been on here 40 minutes and I'm still rambling. Actually, I'm not. I'm answering questions. While we're at it, does anybody else have any other questions before I get to the Bible study today? Trump's not scaring me. I know who Trump is. I know who Trump is. I told you who Trump was many, many moons ago. Do you think Revelation 22 about the adding the prophecy is for the whole Bible? Yes. Yes, it is. Can you run for president? Not with a beard like this. Not happening. And I'm saved, so I couldn't run for president. I have a higher office to hold than that of a president. Anybody else have any questions? Right, adding to the scriptures, if it's anywhere in the Bible, it's good for all the Bible when it comes to that. So yeah, you shouldn't add to... Oh, don't be scared. You think you might be the Antichrist? People thought Obama was. Yes, my retirement plan's in heaven. I have a mansion waiting for me. Absolutely. Anybody else have any other questions? I want to give you a chance. We talked about some things that happened this year. Deuteronomy 12:32, what things soever I command you observe to do, if thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. Good one, Ross Duncan. That is correct, sir. Yep, he is part of the plan. Of course he's part of the plan. He wouldn't be up there if he wasn't part of the plan. He'd be dead. Yep. That's how it goes. Wonder how long it'll take for it to get cold in here. I just shut my truck off. We'll see how long it takes to get cold in here. It is, let's see, it is 7 degrees outside. Let's see how long it takes to get cold. Is weeping and gnashing of teeth always hell? Well, I think that's a parable. When the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth, thought on divorce and being in a marriage is emotional abuse. Hold that thought and remind me again of that real quick. The weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, remember, the weeping and gnashing of teeth was also, we saw that with Stephen. They gnashed on him with their teeth, right? So it's definitely a sign of depravity. It's definitely a sign of depravity and hatred of God and a rebellion and a hatred for God, the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. So, I believe you can see that it's definitely a sign of that. Somebody asked me, do you think 9/11 was an inside job? Absolutely think it. No, I don't think it was. I know it was. Remember how crazy they used to make us feel? All I got to say is two words. Two words. Building 7. Enough said. You don't have to say anything else to know that was an inside job. When you just say Building 7. Isn't that something? And I think Trump is an inside job. And they're grooming DeSantis there in Florida to be the next inside job, too. There's something going on with that dude, too. I'm telling you. You got a bunch of Christians and a bunch of people. And what are they doing? They're moving two different places, Florida and Texas. I think you're all getting trapped. I think you're all getting set up. Who thinks that they're setting everybody up for Florida and Texas? Like, everybody's moving like it's the next utopia. Oh, go to Texas. I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right here in plain sight. Right in the frozen tundra. Ain't no maybe about it, man. You ain't going to run from the Antichrist. You people think you're going to run from the beast system and the New World Order system and some governor in Florida is going to save you? Give me a break. It is going to be a Bible study. I haven't started it yet. That's why I called it a year in review and a Bible study. Right? There you go. We'll get to it. I usually do 2-hour broadcasts. But the question is out there. Who thinks they're being set up to move to Florida and Texas? Me, I do. No, it's the last big hope. You mean it's the last big hype? It's the last big hype. Right? I'm going to stay right where I am, right in plain sight. You know, the Lord showed me something with all that. He showed me that the best place for you to be is in the center of my will. And the best place for you to be is right in plain sight. Right? That's the best place. Anyway, I'm not mad at anybody who are wondering why in the world isn't he like getting this Bible study done. I get it. And you won't have to listen to it. I mean, you can, you know. You know. But you can fast forward it to the 48 minutes. Hope my battery doesn't go dead. Man, that'd be a bummer. But hey, at least I'm having fun. Right? And hey, Betty's having fun. And Andrea's having fun. And Carl and Peter always talk like two teenagers, so they're always having fun. But we'll get started here. We will, because I do want to talk about biblical authority a little bit. A lot, actually. Thanks for the discussion. Practically, how do you explain repentance to lost people? So here's how. Here's how we explain repentance to lost people. First of all, you don't really have to, okay? And here's why. You do in the sense of you call all men to repentance. You explain to them that repentance is a... You don't really have to explain that to lost people. What you preach is the law to them, which is a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. The law is preached that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Right? You preach the law as schoolmaster. Once you preach that, they'll see, and you preach that they deserve to go to hell, but you preach on Christ to them and that Christ is able to forgive their sins and to save their soul, but this is how you preach to them, but they must turn.
they must turn. That's what repentance is. It's a turn. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action with sorrow in the heart. With a sorrow in the heart. It's a turning to God away from everything else, turning to God, right? People say, well, what if I didn't repent of all my sins? Well, first of all, the Bible says repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Sin is the reason that brings men. Sin is the reason. When the law is preached, men see they're guilty. When they are guilty, they look for forgiveness. And then you preach unto them Christ and Him crucified. And then they see that Jesus commands all men everywhere to repent, to turn, to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God. Paul said he came to preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. It's your whole life you've been going away from God. You were born a sinner and you love your sin and you were going away from God. So now you call all men everywhere, so now God calls you to repentance. He calls you to turn towards Him. That's what happened the day I got saved. No one preached to me repentance that day. They preached on hell. They preached on sin. They preached on my guilt. And what did I do? Lord Jesus, what's the answer? And the man plainly showed me it's the man Christ Jesus. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He showed me Jesus and that I needed Jesus to forgive my sins and to save my soul. And the gospel is that simple. We look for the remedy. And the remedy is Christ. And that's where we go. We go to Jesus. So what is that? That's repentance. You were going that way. The world is that way. Right? The world was that way. Now you're going towards God. You turned around and somebody called out to you. It's like if my dog's at the end of the driveway and my dog is running for the garage. And I yell out to my dog, Shiva! Right? I yell out to her. And she turns around and she comes towards me. That's repentance. Right? She was going that way towards the garage, but I called to her. The gospel is the call of God to repentance. Because you are born estranged from God and you love your sin and I love my sin and we're as a lost people, we love our sin. So then God calls out to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then you turn around because he called you. Right? You turn around because he called you. That's simple, isn't it? That's simple. Praise God, that's the gospel. That is simple. That's the gospel, that's repentance. It isn't any more than that in that sense. Is there going to be fruit of repentance? Yeah, what's the fruit of repentance? Change of action. Sorrow. Understanding what that life was. And then our actions change. We don't want that anymore. That's the fruit of repentance. Right? That's the fruit. So think of it this way. If you're walking in a field away from me, right? Your back's turned to me and you keep walking straight that way. And I call out to you, come this way. And you turn around, you've repented. And you come towards me. That's repentance. That's repentance. And then comes the verses, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those are simple. That's simple repentance. That's, if you want to make it simple, that's simple. Say, what about sin? Well, what about it? Sin, does sin affect that? Well, of course it does. We wouldn't be repenting if we know God's right about us. And we hear his voice. And he calls us. And we follow him. And he gives unto us eternal life. And we shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck us out of his hand. That's repentance. And we believe what Jesus said. He calls out to us. He says, come here and I'll forgive your sins. And what is the evidence that you believe him? You turn around and follow him. That counting the cost will be proven in your life the longer you're saved. That fruit of repentance will be proven in your life the longer you're saved. There's going to be things that God's going to show you 20 years later. I've been saved for 20 years. There's things that God showed me this year that he said, son, this isn't acceptable anymore. Easy believism, people say, only thing we can repent of is repenting of unbelief. Well, what I tell those people is this. Okay? What I tell those people is this. Don't be a hypocrite. Because you're saying they're still repenting of sin. Because unbelief is a sin. I nailed a guy on that topic one time, a Ruckmanite. Boy, did he get mad at me, man. I nailed him good on that. I just kept asking the same question over and over again and made him answer it. Is unbelief sin? Is unbelief sin? Finally, he answered, yes, but if I say it's sin, you're going to say he turned from it. And I'm going to be like, no, you just said it. Right? You just said it. You're going to repent your whole life. You and I are going to continue to repent of things. Hey, I'm teaching tonight on Acts 19. About those people that were stuck in witchcraft and curious arts, and they were delivered from their witchcraft and they burned their books and all that other stuff. Some of those people, I believe, were newly saved people. I don't believe it was all at the time of their salvation. I believe some of it they found out later after they were saved for a while. Whoa! This is wicked! And they brought their books to burn them. Right? I believe some of that's in there. But anyway, we'll talk about that tonight. Don't miss that sermon. Live on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. You can listen to that sermon. I do believe repentance is a gift of God. Then hath God also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. And that faith is a gift of God. Right? Repentance and faith are both gifts of God. And I do believe that. So that's how I would explain those things. That's how I would. Hey, this turned out to be a pretty good Bible study, didn't it? And that's not, you mean, you can answer questions like that and it could be a Bible study? Well, that's what it is, because that's what we've talked about is Scripture. So all we've done is quote Scripture. Right? It's good stuff. Those are good things to understand, especially when witnessing to people, to understand some of those things. You know, understand how to deal with those. Because they're kind of confusing sometimes. When people, we tend to complicate things. And I'm, what I mean by we as Christians, we complicate things. And God is always teaching us to go back to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. You know, because we'll complicate it, but it's simple. Grace is simple. God's grace is very simple. And he makes it that way for a reason, because we can't handle anything complex. Men that try to take things and become too complex, well, they have doctorates and everything, and then they confuse people. They talk people out of this book right here. They tell them that there's something else for them. That they all that kind of stuff. I've been watching you since I got saved 7 years ago, brother. I remember watching The Magic Kingdom versus the Kingdom of God. Wow. 7 years, huh? Praise the Lord. What's your name? Or is this an alias? By the way, my Yeti cup still keeps my coffee cold, even though it's below zero out here. I like the old school green cup. It's pretty cool. My name is Elijah. Anyway, any other questions before we get to a Bible study and before my phone runs out? I might have to plug my phone in. I'm afraid it's going to... Hey, what is the volume? What is the... what does the audio sound like when it switches to my car? Does it sound really bad when it switches over to my Ford F-150? Because it might do that if I have to plug this in and charge it. I can't wait to get my studio going. Mm. And there's already a heater in that wing of the building. Isn't that something? Isn't that a blessing? Here goes Peter and Carl again with their two-word vocabulary. Wow. Come on, guy. Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Wow. Whoa. I can tell I'm getting old. I mean, I'm only 45, but I can tell I'm getting old. Because I'm one of those old codgers that's like, stop talking like that. You little kids, stop talking like that. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Hannah. Our son would join them. They act about the same as my 16-year-old son. Anyway, man, is my voice going to hold up? I got to preach tonight, too. It sounds like it's okay. Ah, good question. Joshua asked me, what do you think is the proper place for creation evidence? Okay, here's what I believe about that. Apologetics, creation apologetics, they have their importance, and they should be used. Evidences in creation should be used. However, if you look at Romans chapter 1, you see that Paul used the evidence of creation to accent the truth of Christ, right? Isn't it cool? Look at the sun. Look at the sunbeam. Can you see that on your guys' end? Look at the sunbeam come down here. Ooh, look, it's shining on the Bible. Oh, look at that. Isn't that cool? I know. Now I'm acting like Carl. Okay. Anyway, creation evidence is important, and it should be used to aid the truth of everything else. It is one of the lights that God has given in Scripture. Okay? Is Carl and Peter plugging their channels on here? Brother. I don't care. Whatever. Anyway. Look. It's all Carl. I know. Somebody told me years ago, you better watch that guy. You just better watch that guy. I was like, why is he going to try to destroy my ministry? Like the other 20 people did in my ministry? That's terrible. But by God's grace, I'm still here running my mouth. Right? I'm still here doing what God's called me to do. That's what I told folks. I'm still doing the same thing I've always done by God's grace. Hey, there's my neighbor. Man, he's having fun in that thing. No, they did. They warned me about Carl. They were like, you better watch that guy. I've been watching him. And the one thing I learned about Carl is he don't get any better looking. So I just quit watching him. No, seriously though, the one thing that the Lord showed me is if I have my eyes on Christ, seriously, would you look at that beam coming down on the Bible? Is that not cool or what? Look at that. That's funny. Anyway. Anyway. Keep your eyes on the Lord and God will take care of all the rest. You know, don't put your stock in men, put it in Christ. But anyway, the creation evidence stuff, it does have its place, but it should be used not as a means to an end in that sense, but it should be used to pique the interest of people and to show them that it points to Christ. As the natural man, the conscience and everything else. But that's what I would do. You know, with it. That's how I would conduct myself with it. I think sometimes people think that they can intellectualize people into heaven. They can give them enough facts that's going to make them want to get saved and believe the Bible. Some people will be convinced through the arguments of creation as it's pointed to Christ. That's true. Some people will be. But the bulk of people will not be. Because when it's all said and done, it comes back to Christ. You know, and preaching Christ and Him crucified. But to show the world that, because no man will be saved by natural light. Romans chapter 1 speaks of the natural light that says that they are without excuse, right? The natural light, but no man can be saved by the natural light. The natural light only points to Christ. And they must be saved by Jesus. They must believe on the Son of God. Amen? So that's we're getting, what a segue into the authority of the scriptures. Let's go right there. All right. Let's get there. Mark chapter, I believe it's chapter 11. Let me see here. Mark chapter 11. Yes, it is. Mark chapter 11. Well, are you kids ready now for your Bible study? Exactly. Solo Day Music. Apologetics can usher you to the doorstep and not get you into the kingdom. Absolutely true. That's right. Nothing wrong with it. You should learn them. I like apologetics. In fact, I think there's some great things out there. I read a book by Ken Ham that talked about reaching people. I can't remember the name of it. One of my guys will remember the name of it, but it was a good book, and he talked about how we have a Greek society, not a Jewish Judeo-Christian society, and that we need to take them back to the creation and show them. And I agree with that because they're ignorant of the Creator. I do agree with that. That's Mark chapter 11 here. That's true. I agree with that. Okay, Mark chapter 11, we're going to get to some good Bible stuff here. Jesus, who is our wonderful example, in verse number 17, and I'll put this in the Mark series that I have. I've got this whole clipboard full of notes. These are the notes on Mark. These are all notes on Mark almost. I have a lot of Bible studies on Mark. If I'm not careful, I might teach them to you twice, so I have to make sure that I don't do that. But actually, it wouldn't hurt you any. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff that the Lord has showed me, and God moved me away this last summer, and brought me into the book of Mark when I went on vacation with my family. And by the way, I'm not taking a vacation in January. I usually do try to go two a year just for my mind and for clarity and things like that. But because of the diversity of this move and all the different stuff that I'm doing out at my house now, I have enough of a break in between things that I'm okay to wait until May to go on vacation. So we're going to take our annual family vacation by the second week of May. But I don't really need to go. I'm doing fine. The Lord's really blessed. And I'm doing okay. And Big Whale, I will be looking up your recipe when I get ready. I have my meat frozen in there. I didn't take it out, but I might do some experimenting with that meat here and might make some of that up. So we'll see what happens with that later. Mark chapter 11, verse number 17. Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees. And he goes to the authority. The Bible is our authority. It tells us how to live. It shows us how to live. It teaches us what God expects from us, right? That's what the Word of God does. Jesus, our perfect example, says this in verse 17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Jesus said, is it not written? And that's what I want to look at, because I thought it was interesting. I started doing some studying on that phrase a little bit, and I want to teach you a little bit through that. He takes them to the authority, and so should you and I, with all our rebukes that we give anybody, go back to the authority, the Word of God. Is it not written? For our children, for our church, let us never let our passions override our need to biblically rebuke people and take people always back to the authority. Is it not written? The question you have to ask yourself is, what is the basis for our authority? Is it not written? Our children and our churches must see that the Word of God is our authority for rebuke. That it comes down to God's Word, the only rule of faith and practice, the final rule, the final authority for all things. Is it not written? You notice Christ brings it in question form. Jesus did this a lot. He asked a lot of questions. When he was rebuking people, when he was teaching them, he would ask them a lot of questions. Why? Because this engages the mind. God is not a mind raper like Satan is. Satan goes around your mind to manipulate your emotions. That's what he does. He goes around to manipulate your emotions. He goes around your intellect and he appeals to your emotions. For instance, he appealed to Cain's passions. God dealt with Cain's mind. He asked him questions. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Now, Satan asks questions too. But they're questions to make people doubt God. They're not questions that that get people to trust God. So Christ used that technique as a great teaching tool. Matthew 21, 16. Let me go there. Matthew 21:16. And he said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus saith unto him, yea, have you not read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. So Jesus asked him again, have you not read? See, another question. Is it not written? Have you not read? He's always taking them back to the Bible. In everything you do, apologetics or whatever, it's going to have to come down to this book. No man was ever intellectualized into heaven, but it has to come back to the authority. But we still use the mind. We engage the mind. Right? We engage the mind. But he asks, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have you never read? You got to understand the way Jesus is talking to these people. Well, have you never read? This is what he's doing. Let's see, Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith to them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Right? The Ford's turned on. Did you never read in the scriptures? Did you never read? See how he's doing that over and over again? Mark chapter 2, verse number 25, he does it again. And he said to them, have you never read what David did when he had need and was a hungered? He and they that were with him. Like, didn't you ever read the scriptures? Over and over again he does that. Over and over again. That's his method. John 10:34. Let's go there. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? Haven't you ever read the law? Haven't you ever seen what the scriptures say? How about Matthew chapter 12? See, verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a hungered and they that were with him? How he entered the house of God and did eat the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Jesus is asking a question. Haven't you ever read? It's almost like a t-shirt a modern day guy would use. Do you even read, bro? It's kind of a question you want to ask these modern day hipsters. Like, bro, do you ever read? I mean, have you not read? Have you ever read? Have you ever looked at the Bible for why you do what you do? Have you ever looked at the Bible for why you worship the way you do? Have you ever, do you ever read? Like, has anybody asked Hillsong? Like, do you ever read? Have you never read? You ask these modern CCM guys, do you ever read? You ask Beth Moore, you ever read a Bible? You ever read the epistles of Paul, of Timothy? Those that promote sodomite marriage, you want to ask them, in the name of love, do you ever read? Have you never read? Is it not written? He that made them in the beginning made them male and female? Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Do you ever read? Have you never read? Matthew 19. And he answered, verse number 4, and he answered and said to them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh? Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder? Have you never read? Mark chapter 12. Jesus uses the same thing. He takes them back to the authority. Verse number 10. And have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus said, my authority for everything is the word of God. That he was the Son of God. And it all bear witness of who he was. And that they would reject who he was. They would reject Christ. Right? Verse number 26 in Mark chapter 12. And as touching the dead, that they rise. Have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob? He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You therefore do greatly err. What is he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection. He said, have you not read? There's a resurrection. Have you not read that these men will be resurrected? That these men will live? That they're not dead, but they're still alive? That their spirits are in heaven? Or at that time, Abraham's bosom, if you will. Jesus answered him over and over again, have you not read? I don't think they have. And Jesus, Luke 6:3, and Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did? There's another example. That's listed like 3 times in the Gospels, I think. Notice when Christ was dealing with Satan, what did he do? He took him back to the Bible, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus took him back to the scriptures. Then was Jesus led up of the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Now when he's dealing with Satan, he commands Satan through the scriptures, and he uses the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Where's that written? Deuteronomy 8:3. You want to know where that's written? It is written. Well, where's it written? That's right, Brother Ross. Deuteronomy 8. And he humbled thee, verse number 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So if you do write things down and cross-reference in your Bible, cross-reference Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3. And put that next to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. Write that in. So when somebody asks you, well, where is it written? Where is it written? Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, that's in the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalms, is it 90? Let me look. Let's see. Verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But he didn't read the rest of it. Oh, man. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. Shalt thou trample under feet. There you go. So there it is right there, right? So Christ always took them back to the scriptures. When he was fighting Satan, he took it back to the Bible. Wow, here comes a delivery truck. He's right in front of me. He's delivering fuel. What timing? The scribes and the Pharisees asked him by what authority he did these things. And then he went and he told them about John. And they didn't want to answer that. So Jesus said, well, you don't want to answer me and I don't want to answer you. Right? He did that to test them, to try them, so they would know. But he always took them back to the Word of God. He always took them back to the authority. And he used questions and he asked them. Jews should have read those passages, but not Gentiles. Right, Gentiles wouldn't have known about them. Most of them wouldn't have. But the Jews did. They did. Anyway, good little Bible study on that. Something for you to think about for sure. As you're dealing with people this year, apologetics-wise, when you're dealing with all those things, that you remember to do that, okay? You remember to take them back to the scriptures. Take them back to the authority, which is the Word of God. Amen? All right, you pray for us. Tonight I'll be preaching 7:30 p.m. Central. You can find us at sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley, okay? And... if you want to give to our ministry, if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com or go over to sermonaudio.com and you'll find information on giving there. Pray for us. We're going out preaching this weekend. It's going to be very cold. Please pray for us that the Lord would keep us and protect us and that the gospel would go forth with much power and boldness in the Spirit. All right, everybody. God bless y'all. Take care. We'll see you soon.